Amen. Thank you, ensemble. That was a beautiful song. What a blessing. Amen. It's always a blessing to have the Hayeses here, and they're just good folks who saw a need and said, we'll do it. We'll fill that need. Brother Hayes is excited. I like excited people. I really do. I get around him, and he's just fired up, and he's excited about what he's doing. He wants to see military people saved. And what a blessing. And his heart is there. That's his passion. I don't know if anything else matters. That's the most important thing. And you need to pray for him. He did give me permission to let you know that he has been diagnosed with cancer. And he's going to have some treatments here in the Ann Arbor area. In fact, he'll be in this area for a while and getting that treatment and everything. But you need to pray for him. The main thing to him is not that. It's the military. And getting them saved, and I love that. I love that spirit about him. And so, Brother Hayes, you come and just tell us what the Lord's put on your heart.
Okay, thank you, my brother. Okay. There's a number of things that we want to do tonight and accomplish, and there's no clock at the back of your auditorium, and so that's dangerous for Patrick to be asked to speak in a building when there's no clocks. And so we have spoken here before, and so... Y'all know what we're doing, and we've been asked to give a little report, but there's a number of things happening. One is what the preacher just told you about, and so obviously we need your prayers for this. I'll be being doctored at Ann Arbor, the VA there, and tomorrow I will find out how long. It's either going to be 5 to 6 weeks of treatments or 10 weeks of treatments, and based on tomorrow. And so just be praying about that if you would. We've chosen to stay here in the Ann Arbor area because in Georgia, I'd be driving 150 miles a day just to get to the hospital to where in Georgia, where we live, to get to a VA hospital where I could have surgery. So we've got some folks, good folks down in Willis. I don't know how many of you all know Willis Baptist Church. And Brother McKinnis, he's a jewel and he loves me. And he's put us in the Detroit Greenfield RV park. And I've got a trailer up here. You've seen our trailer before. I think I've had it parked out here before. And so we're going to be staying in our trailer. And they've got some folks down there that tomorrow we're going to winterize it. It's never been through anything like what it's going to go through this year. And so it's going to be interesting. And so... let's do this. We've got something that a special something for y'all. And it's a special something that God has given me in the middle of my problem with the health problem. God seems to always come through for me with something that balances things out. There's some negatives and some positives, and I hope that it's that way for you too. And that's the way it's going to be. If you're a new Christian, if you've just been saved recently, I can promise you that you got some surprises ahead of you. Amen. And I know that in this pulpit here, you were not promised a bed of roses if you'd get saved. That doesn't happen here. And I know he preaches you the truth and teaches you the truth that when you get saved, welcome to the world where Satan is the prince and power of the air, and he hates you now. Yes. He hates you, and he'll do everything he can do to upset your new life. Amen? Yes. Y'all believe that here. I know you do. This is what I want to do. Just recently, when we came to Michigan, we were up in Michigan for an eight-night missions conference from Mount Pleasant all the way up to a place called Onaway. This took place back in September. We had 8 nights consecutive. We started up in Onaway and ended up down in Mount Pleasant, and every night we were in a different church, and God blessed in a wonderful way. And during that preaching conference, the United States Marine Corps. I was got some mail from the United States Marine Corps, and it was an honorarium of some work that we've been doing in Afghanistan. And when I say we, I literally mean we. Yes, amen. All of us working together. There's a verse that I preach from oftentimes in Jude 22. It says, "And if some have compassion, making a difference, and others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire." Do you all ever remember some nut that came to your church and he had a long rope and he ran a rope from here all the way to the wall and he preached about pulling people out of the fire? How many of y'all remember that guy? Okay, well, that was me, and you all know I'm being funny now, or trying to be funny, and I'm not too funny sometimes, but anyway, we're all pulling together. So tonight, I don't know how to do this stuff, but I know people that do know how to get things done, and they sometimes come through for me, and we brought these certificates with us, and these certificates are going to be honored, or we're going to present them to you all. And seeing that, I don't know how to say this, but seeing that I'm the president of Berean Armed Forces Ministries, I get to do what I want to do, and I get to honor who I want to honor. And there's a group of folks here in this church that I love. And I love the church, obviously. But there's a special group here that we had these certificates made out. And you'll be able to see them someday. I'm sure the preacher will put them somewhere where you can see them. But I'll read one or two of them. But Brother Cook.
Yes.
And I did not know this, but Brother Cook, he knows. There you go, my brother. Why don't you come, please? Brother Cook, I didn't know this until today. I thought Brother Campbell was the man that was in charge of the shepherd's mission. My brother, why don't you walk right up here, please? But today, walking across the parking lot, Brother Campbell got the word that I was going to have him come to the pulpit tonight, and I was going to honor him as a representative of the Shepherd's Club. He stopped me out there in that parking lot. He said, man, I got to talk to you. And I said, what's up? He says, hey, man, I'm not in charge of the Shepherd's Ministry. I said, you're not. I said, you've had me fooled this whole time, because I always thought he was in charge. And I've even preached for him over there. And I think the day I preached, were you there when I preached?
I was probably on vacation.
Okay, on vacation. Well, that's what happens when you're on vacation.
Yes, yes.
No more vacations. So these certificates, we're going to honor and we're going to present them to Brother Campbell, Brother Cook, Brother Cook. And I'm not good at this stuff, but... this says here, a certificate of appreciation is presented to Berean Armed Forces Ministries and the Berean Baptist Church Shepherds Class. And am I supposed to speak in this thing or this thing? What are we doing?
Just talk.
Oh, just talk. Okay. And it says these words, for your outstanding efforts in supporting the members of the Special Operations Task Force East. In other words, these are special ops guys, and they receive our material, and I've been sending them material. He says, Your support via ministry packets, religious CDs. This is a tremendous blessing that you folks are not aware of. But just recently down in Mount Vernon, Ohio, I ran across a fellow that prints on CDs Arabic messages from folks at Pacific Guard Mission. Honey, help me.
Unshackled.
Yeah, Unshackled. He's got Unshackled programs in the Arabic language. Yep. And so we've been sending those to chaplains. This happens to be one of the chaplains that gets this material, and he was thrilled to death to get this stuff. And then we've been sending him Islamic, Arabic messages, sermons in Arabic language. And he absolutely loves them, and they're getting out. So the gospel of the Lord Jesus is going out in their language. And so he says here, you support via ministry packets, religious CDs, encouraging letters, pictures, encouraging letters. And y'all don't know this, but we see a number of things that come through my office in Georgia that says something about Shepherd's Program, Shepherd's Ministry, and that type of thing. And very encouraging. Pictures and cookies. Exemplifies the best traditions and patriotism of American citizens in supporting their military service members. Your efforts contributed significantly in maintaining our moral and lifting our spirits. And so, my brother, this is from a Special Forces Operation Group, and I want you to have this, and I'm sure the folks will get to see this. Then we've got one right here in your home state, the Michigan Air National Guard. It says Berean Arm, Certificate of Appreciation. Thanks to the Berean Armed Forces Ministries and Berean Baptist Church at the Shepherd's Class and supporting our Air National Guard during your recent trip to Camp Grayling. Now, this was year before last. We had 2,600 men and women from Michigan and from Indiana, and from Ohio, and from Arkansas that trained up in Grayling, and they allowed me to work outside the PX, and we had 2,600 men that took a packet. May I say this to you? That was 2,600 thank you cards. That was 2,600 coloring pictures. It was quite a bit. And so the Lord blessed there, and they honored us. This is Chief Master Sergeant Michael Dalton. Michael Dalton is the highest enlisted man in the state of Michigan. And I've been to his office in Lansing, and he certainly appreciates what we're doing. And so, my brother, we hope that that'll be a blessing to you. And then one more, we saved, I need to be careful here, the last for best. This is the United States Marine Corps. And this comes from the engineering company of the Combat Logistics Battalion number 7. And this comes from the Helmand Province of Afghanistan to the Berean Armed Forces Ministries and Berean Baptist Church in their Shepherd's Class. And may I say this to you, these folks have taken a beating over in Afghanistan for us. And they've honored us, and this particular fellow here, I've worked with him for about 7 years now, and this is a tremendous honor for us to get something of this nature, and we wanted to, you know, the scripture says, honor to whom honor is due. And may I say this to you, the Berean Baptist Church has supported us financially. You've supported us with cards, you've supported us with coloring pictures, and you've obviously supported us with prayer. And so tonight we wanted to honor you all with these and honor the Shepherd's Class with this. And so, my brother, God bless you.
Can I ask you something real quick?
You can say anything you want.
This morning we had our Shepherd's Program, and Mr. Hayes was not here this morning, but he doesn't know this, but the month of September and October, the Shepherd's Class, we have pickle jars. We have 3 pickle jars. One has the bus ministry on it, and the other two are two missionaries we support. One is the Diocese in Africa, and one is yourself.
Amen.
Excuse me. And for those 2 months, let me get my note out here, you will be receiving some money from the Shepherd's Class of $170.93.
Amen. Thank you.
And I have some thank you. I have a card back there at my seat. I'll give it to you a little later on this evening.
Yes, sir. Thank you.
Amen.
God bless you, my brother. Keep up the good work. Okay, now as the president and founder of Berean Armed Forces Ministries, and I smile when I say that because it's a one-man operation. We did hire a lady here 3 weeks ago to try to organize me, but she's going to go crazy. And she made it clear to me, Brother Hayes, I've worked with men all my life, and I've worked in offices all my life, and I can handle it. And I said, okay, we're going to see. And so we are a two-person operation other than my wife, and she doesn't get paid. So she gets to live with me. That's enough. And so she did, wow, isn't that good? Now, this is an honor for me to be able to get something of this nature and then to present it to your church. And so we would like for your pastor to come, and you've already heard this just in the last few minutes, but your pastor has been receptive to us, and your school has helped us. You all support us. The first time I was here, we came for your missions conference, and we were in a number of homes and were fed, and your missions conference here is different, very encouraging, very helpful. It's okay.
Yeah.
Very different in that it is encouraging and it is helpful. And I will say this to all the Michiganders here, that the state of Michigan, and I don't understand what God's doing, but I've been at this month right now, October the 1st of 2001, I was working at PBG, Pittsburgh Play Class, in Shelby, North Carolina. I was working 12-hour shifts, and 2 12 days, and then swing and work 2 12 nights, and I'd get 3 days off. Those 3 days off, on October the 1st of 2001, I made my first trip to Fort Bragg. We're down the road now 10 years. Yeah. This is my 10th anniversary, and God has blessed and God has raised up churches to help keep us going. The first 5 years of this, I worked a job. And I worked a job, and on my days off, I was going to Paris Island, going to Camp Lejeune, going to Savannah, going to different bases on my 3 days off. But now the churches have gotten behind us. This is one of the churches that has gotten behind us, and this is a privilege to be part of your church. Amen. And we certainly appreciate all you're doing. So, my brother Rogers, This certificate by the United States Marine Corps Engineer Company Combat Logistics Battalion number 7, it says they take pleasure in presenting the United States flag, which I can't do that. Okay, these folks flew a flag in Afghanistan for Berean Armed Forces Ministries, but I can't present a flag to every church. That would, I don't have that kind of money, but I can present a certificate. But they did give us a flag. That flag will be in my office in Jessup, Georgia. And so they did present us a flag that was flown over Camp Dyer amid the raging battles and during the decisive operations against enemy forces in Helmand Province of Afghanistan, presented to Berean Armed Forces Ministries and the Berean Baptist Church and School. Amen. And so my brother, this is the United States Marine Corps, the Michigan Air National Guard, and supporting the work here in Michigan with the guard up in Grayling, presented by Chief Master Sergeant. He's the state commander, highest enlisted man in the state of Michigan, presented this to us. And then from the United States Special Forces, Army Special Forces, certificate of appreciation for the work that we all do to try to help them. And I won't read this again, but my brother, I appreciate you and appreciate this church, okay? God bless you. Okay, tonight, Brother Kenny has been helping me. I don't know if I was here late, but I should have been here around 4:30, which I did not get here at 4:30, to fix the altar. And so Brother Kenny has helped me there. And tonight, this will be very, very different. Your pastor said something about, I appreciate Brother Hayes' zeal, and I appreciate his fire. Well, I don't know how fiery this is going to be tonight. Because tonight, I think what I want to do is I think I want to talk to you, and I want to try to reason with you. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Isaiah, if you would, please. Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1, and as you're turning to Isaiah chapter 1, when I come to this pulpit, I've spoken in this pulpit, I think, 3 or 4 times now. I'm sure I have. And I know I've spoken in the school. And so sometimes when I speak in churches time and time again, I kind of worry. And I'm not the professional evangelist. If you went through evangelism class at Bible college, they would tell you very clearly that you need to keep records of every sermon you preach and when you preach them and where you preach them, so that when you go back to preach, you don't preach the same sermon again. And but that's okay. I'm not a professional evangelist. And so I'm a street worker. In this verse, in Isaiah 1, verse 18, it says these words, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." What a beautiful, beautiful promise that God has made in that portion of Scripture. I don't want to speak to you about that promise necessarily, but I want to speak to you about what he said. "Now, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord." And tonight I want to try to reason with this church about something that you already believe and you've been taught, but there's truth has to be repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated and repeated. That's what the purpose of this pulpit is to repeat truth, because the truth of the matter is a lot of times truth just goes over our head, just goes over our head, goes over our head. And so tonight, I want to try to reason with you, and I want to read this definition to you on what I believe is the most, what I believe is the most frightful word in all the Bible. I don't know what you believe is the most frightful word in all the Bible. And I don't know how many of you ever just sit back and meditate. You know, it's hard to find the old porch in the swing or the old porch in the rocking chair where you can just go sit out on the rocking chair and just meditate. We've got our washing machines, and we've got our dryers, and we've got our microwaves, and we've got our cars, and we've got, it's unbelievable what we have today. But it just seems as if Patrick Hayes is so busy that I have to just stop everything to just meditate and just think and just give thought to this. The word is the word that I believe is probably the most frightful word in this book, is the word eternity. Eternity. The Navy SEALs that were just shot out of the sky here a while back, may I say something to you about those men? That those men were extremely highly educated men. They were highly educated men. They were highly knowledgeable men. They were patriotic men. They were men that were extremely physically fit men. They were men of men. And you know, within seconds, they were in eternity. And the truth of the matter is, everybody in this room knows, and you know this, that good soldiers do not go to heaven. It's mighty quiet in here. The only way those men could go to heaven is if they had a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And the truth of the matter is, when you're in the military, when you are being trained and disciplined, and you have a vision and you have a dream to be a ranger, or you have a dream to be a SEAL, or you have a dream to be part of that Delta Force, and you have a dream and a vision to be part of that, can I tell you, most of the time, God is not involved in it. It's a matter of self-discipline. It's a matter of you disciplining yourself. Now, I say this to you, that when this mission started, it started 10 years ago, but I think it was around 7 years ago, I was at Parris Island. If you do not know what Parris Island is the Marine Corps training base this side of the east of the Mississippi River that trains all young men to be a Marine. It's called Parris Island, and it is really an island. And once you're on that island, you don't get off. You don't get off. May I say to you that it was probably 7 years ago I went to Parris Island. I've been going to the streets there, but I wanted to get inside the base. I wanted to get inside to where I could share the gospel and share these packets. And the only way I could do that was to meet the chaplain. And I met the chaplain. I went to his office. Presented myself in the best professional way that I could possibly do. I mean, Marines don't have their own chaplain, so to speak. They're part of the Navy, so I had to deal with a naval officer. And he had silver hair. That means that he had been at it for quite a while. And we sat down, and he invited me to come in, sit down in his office. We sat down at the little couch there, and I had this packet in my hand, and he picked up this packet, and I handed it to him, and he opened it up. He began looking at it. When he looked at it, he flipped through it here a little bit, and he took out the John and Romans, and he looked at that, and he says, "Sir," he says, "I see that this literature is only King James literature." And he says, I think he was being sarcastic because he was a Navy guy, and all you guys that are Navy, you know, you were sarcastic with Marines and all. It's just the way it goes back and forth, back and forth. And he says, "Sir," he says, "I see everything in your packet is King James literature," and he says, "These young Marine recruits that we get in here, they can't read." And he says, "They can't read the King's English, and so if you'd be willing to work with us and you'd be willing to work with some other versions of the Bible, we might be able to work with you." Well, that obviously was a red flag, and I have one Bible, and I only use one Bible, and been only using one Bible for 37 years, and I'm not going to change. And I'm certainly not going to change this because of some chaplain. And so then I continued to watch him, and he continued to flip through this. And what I'm telling you right now is no exaggeration. This was the United States Marine Corps base, Parris Island, where all young men east of the Mississippi River, that's the only place that they get trained. The chaplain looked at this, and he said these words to me, "Sir, this material only talks about Jesus Christ." And I said, "Yes, sir." He says, "Well, sir, in our chaplaincy in the United States Armed Forces, we do not exalt one God above another God." He said, we're a pluralistic chaplaincy, and we're not permitted to do that. And this material here only talks about Jesus. I said, you're exactly right. He said, well, sir, if you'd be willing to work with us and be willing to work with some other religions and that type of thing, we might be able to work with you. And I said, sir, I hope you have a good day. Now, may I say this to you, that when a young man joins the United States Armed Forces, he's joining a organization that has many gods. I know it's America and that type of thing, but they have all kinds of gods in our military today, and they need the God. They need the Lord Jesus. And so tonight I want to try to reason with you about this, and I want you to go, if you would please, over to Luke chapter 8, and again, I'm going to use this word with you over and over again about the word reason. I want to reason with you. I want you to look at this, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8, and it's already 7 o'clock. Luke chapter 8, again, everybody already knows this, in Matthew chapter 10, Mark 4, and Luke 8. We have the parable of the seed and the sower, and I've mentioned this from your pulpit before, but maybe this will be a little bit different angle tonight. And the angle tonight will be these thank you cards down here. Inside, if you've never seen this before, inside this packet, we have now collated 79,000 of these. 3 weeks ago at Eglin Air Force Base, we have another church now that's working hand in hand with me, meaning they're working in the streets too. And at Eglin Air Force Base, Fort Walton Beach, Florida, we have four Walmarts down there. Three Saturdays ago there, we have a young man, Carl Hunter. He's a Marine. He's out of the Marine Corps now. He's probably 31, 32 years old. He's going to Bible college down there. And he works our Walmarts for us. Three Saturdays ago, he organized a group of people from his church. He had eight workers. And in eight hours in front of a Walmart in the United States of America, Eglin Air Force Base, they had 970 people that took one of these. When that happens, that was 33,000, almost 34,000 gospel tracts that went out in 8 hours in America in front of a Walmart at a military installation. Amen. And may I say this to you, one of the main things that you need to be praying about, and please pray about this, I don't know what God's going to do about my health. I don't know what God's going to do. I'm going to try to listen to the doctors. I'm going to try to do what the doctors tell me to do. I'm going to try to pay attention. They've already told me, you better pay attention to us. Surgeon said that to me. He said, you better pay attention. You better listen, and we don't want you going back to Georgia. We want you to stay in here so we can try to help you. And by the way, I'll give you something encouraging. Within 2 or 3 days, I was seeing surgeons over here, and one of the surgeons said to me, I said to this surgeon, it seems like you folks really move quick around here. And he looked at me, and he said, sir, you're a special character. You're a special character. And what he meant by that is these things go with me everywhere I go. And every doctor I talk to gets one. And every doctor I find out that has that's a veteran gets one of those packets. We're not ashamed of the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We're trying to get the gospel in the hands of everyone that we can talk to. And so, in this passage in Luke chapter 8, let me say this to you. Luke 8, please. We're going to run out of time here. In Luke 8, when Jesus was talking here, he said, when much people, verse number 4, when much people were gathered together and were coming to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. Some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. Some fell amongst the thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it, and other fell on good ground. And sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Now may I say to you, and I think I've said this before in this church, that there's a law here. It's called the law of first mention. When you get to the New Testament, the Lord Jesus starts talking about seeds. He talks about seeds a lot. Matthew, he talks about seeds. And Mark, he talks about seeds. And Luke here, he talks about seeds. And he makes it very, very clear to us that the sower went out and sowed a seed. And it only fell out of four areas. He talked about four areas of soil, only one out of the four. You got the wayside, you got the thorny ground, you got the stony ground. Nothing happened, but on on one out of the four, we got something happening. Now that tells me that we got a lot of work to do. That tells me that it doesn't look good for us. It tells me that you got to be spreading a lot of seed, You got to be getting a lot out there because there's not very many going to listen. There's not many going to pay attention. And Jesus made that very, very clear over in Matthew when he said, "Very few will enter the kingdom of God." Have you all ever read that before? Very few. So if you're here tonight and you know you're saved and you know you're born again and you can prove it and you can remember when you got saved and you have a clear understanding of that, may I say to you, you're one of the few. There is no such thing as a moral majority. And I know that was a famous statement here 15, 20 years ago come out of Lynchburg, but there's no such thing as a moral majority on this earth. And there never has been. And there never will be until Jesus comes. And even when Jesus comes at the end of the millennium, it's kind of confusing to me, but there's going to be a great mass of human people that are going to rise up against Christ at the end. You all follow me, amen? Now let me show you something that is scary to me. I just read to you, or did I read to you? I didn't read to you the definition of eternity, did I? Honey, did I miss that? She's shaking her ear. Honey, you missed it. Okay. Let me read this to you, and then I want to show you something, and that'll be a help to you. Luke chapter 17, and as you turn into Luke chapter 17, the definition of eternity is these words: eternity cannot be defined. It's beginningless and endless. It cannot be measured. Its past increased, its future diminished. It has no past, it has no future, it has no end, it has no middle, it has no parts. It's an unanalyzable, tremendous unity. If all the mountains of the world were pressing upon the brain, they could not weigh it down more heavenly than eternity's least conception. It is unoriginated, beginningless, indescribable, undefinable thing. Itself is its only definition, and if asked what is eternity, we can only answer that it's an infinite circle which can never be measured. Eternity. Today, people will step into eternity. They'll never have another chance. There is no purgatory. There's no middle. There's no nothing of that nature. And my Bible teaches me there that Jesus Christ said that very few people will be saved. And then he started teaching. And when he started teaching, it's interesting that, to me, it's very interesting that he started teaching about dirt. He said, you're raising your eyebrows because, Brother Hayes, you're running out of time. He started teaching about dirt. Think about this for a second. I think this is interesting. In Genesis chapter 3, I believe it is, Jesus Christ started the human race with what? What did he start the human race with? He started with dirt, dust, didn't he? Amen? Well, when Jesus Christ started teaching, In the New Testament, he started one of the very first parables that he started teaching about was dirt. Dirt. So you're looking at 200 pounds here, about 205 pounds of dirt. And you know what Jesus said? Jesus said, go out and sow the seeds in the dirt. Some of it's going to fall by the wayside. Some of it's going to fall on stony ground. Some of it's going to fall amongst the thorns. But some of it will fall on good dirt, good ground. He's referring to human beings, and we can't go through the whole everything about how it all happens, but he makes it very, very clear. He starts talking about dirt. He's referring to human beings and the importance of getting the gospel seed into the hands and the hearts of human beings. But I want to warn you of something. Look in Luke chapter 17, here it is, that the gospel went out. He says only four folks listened. And this is frightful to me. Luke chapter 17, verse number 12. Luke 17, verse number 12 says, and as Jesus entered in a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. Now you remember leprosy, obviously would be one of the most dreaded diseases in the New Testament, was leprosy. It was horrible, it was terrible, and we don't have time to describe it, but he says that there were 10 lepers there. And then he says here, and as he entered into the certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off, and they lifted up their voices and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, go show yourselves unto the priest. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back and with a loud voice glorified God and fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus answering said, were there not 10 cleansed, But where are the nine? Now, may I ask you all something tonight? This business of showing gratitude, this business of being thankful, those people, and I don't know my, I'll admit it, there's probably 200 people here tonight, and I'll admit in front of you, I don't know my theology well enough to know if Jesus was actually implying salvation there, but he did imply that they were healed, and they were healed as the most dreaded disease that a human being could possibly have, and there were 10 of them that were healed, and they were so ungrateful, and we, all of us, we have this ungrateful thing about us. It's called a sin nature. And we have to work at this business of being thankful. It's something that you have to work at. And I have to work at it. And it's a problem. It's a problem, especially here in America, because so much is handed to us and we have so much. And it's easy to get ungrateful. And may I say to you, when you read Romans chapter 1, when you read Romans chapter 1 and you read the degrading of a generation of people, when it gets to, they were unthankful. It's a horrible, horrible thing that we have attached to our sin nature, that we are just like that. And Jesus said, where are the other nine at? Why didn't they show up to say thank you? Why didn't they show up to show some gratitude? Jesus was expecting them to show some gratitude. I'm trying to reason with you tonight, and I'm trying to reason with you over this. Because in this, you can say thank you. And it's extremely simple. And I already know this. I already know this. We're all busy. Everybody is busy. We're all busy. Please take your Bible and turn to 1 Corinthians, if you would, please. And we'll close with this. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. We're all busy. We've all got all kinds of activities going on, every one of us. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 1. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 3. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one says, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that waters, but God that giveth the increase. Now he that planteth and he that waters are one. This is the very reason you all received these awards, these certificates tonight, because we're one. Amen? We're one in this whole business of pulling and planting. Every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building according to the grace of God, which is given unto me as a wise master builder. I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon, but let every man take heed how he buildeth thereupon. May I say to the Berean Baptist Church tonight in Adrian, Michigan, take heed how you're spending your time. Take heed where you're investing your time. Young people, take heed how you're investing your time. And are you investing your time in this? Look at this here. For other foundation can no man lay that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. May I say to all of us in this room tonight, the day's coming. The next greatest event, I personally believe, that's going to take place in your lifetime and in my lifetime is when we stand before Jesus Christ. It won't be if the Muslims come up here and blow New York City off the map. That won't be the next greatest event. Trust me, it won't be. Whatever those people try to pull off, that will not be the next greatest event. The next greatest event in your life is when you're going to stand at the Bema seat, and I stand at the Bema seat, and we look Jesus Christ eyeball to eyeball, and we find out how we spent our time. Was it wood, hay, and stubble, or was it gold, silver, and precious stones? Was I investing my life in things that are eternal, or was I investing my life in my flesh, in the things that I like to do, and the things that I want to do? It's not very good preaching, is it? It's not certainly not popular preaching, but I can tell you right now, in our independent Baptist circles, we're wasting a lot of time on things that are wood, hay, and stubble. We really are. And I know that we need teenagers and we need our kids and we need to keep them energized and keep them busy and burn up their energy and get them involved in all kinds of things that will burn up their energy. But may I say this to you? A lot of what we're doing could be wood, hay, and stubble. It really could be. When we need to be investing in gold, silver, and precious stones, things that are eternal for Jesus Christ. And let me close with this, and I need for you to see this. Look at this, if you would, in the book of 1 John. All the way back by Revelation, if you would, turn to 1 John, and I have to close with this. 1 John chapter 2, if you would, please. 1 John chapter 2, verse 28, and now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. Christians, this is a Sunday night crowd. Every pastor, most of us assume that our Wednesday nights, Sunday nights, most of the crowd are saved, born-again people. Are you aware that in this room tonight, there are some Christians that it's very, very possible that you're unthankful? It's very, very possible that you're saved. It's very possible that you're not part of that. Remember, only 1 out of 10 came back and said thank you. Only one out of 10 was willing to get involved. Only 1 out of 10, all saved, all going to heaven, all going to the same heaven, but a whole lot, many, many different rewards at that judgment seat, because some of them spent their time on wood, hay, and stubble when they could have spent their time on gold, silver, and precious stones. And my Bible teaches me very clearly here that there will be Christians in heaven, that they're going to stand at that Bema seat. You only get one chance at this, only one chance at this. You only get one chance at meeting Jesus Christ for the first time. I personally believe, and this is an independent Baptist church, so you believe it too, that you're going to meet Jesus Christ. You're going to see him. You're going to stand before him, eyeball to eyeball, face to face. Are you going to be ashamed when you stand before him? Are you sure that what you're doing, are you sure what you're doing and how you're spending your time is gold, silver, and precious stones? Or are you spending a lot of time on wood, hay, and stubble? May I say this to you? I believe this with all my heart. It's been 10 years now. And if I die in the next year, I die. But I'll tell you one thing. I'll die believing that this right here is gold, silver, and precious stones. I'll die believing that this is the Word of God. I'll die believing that this is the Word of God right here. And I do not have the money to give this away. And the truth of the matter is I would never give this away. I just wouldn't give it. I personally would not give Bibles away, Genesis to Revelation, especially ones that cost $75, $80. I wouldn't do that. But I'll tell you what I would do. I would give the life of Jesus Christ away, the book of John, a little 13 cents. I can afford that, amen? I would give this away by the thousands if I could get guys to listen. And I will add this right here, little coloring pictures to it, because this here is compassion. And the Bible says, and if some have compassion, making a difference. And you can make a difference tonight in the life of a soldier. Here's a little card. It says, thank you for our freedom. There's a bunch of them up here tonight. I don't know how many Kenny put out here, but there's a couple hundred out here. They're all in stacks of five. I'm going to ask you tonight. We've got to go. But I'm going to ask you tonight, would you help me? You say, Brother Hayes, what do you need? I need some folks to take a stack of these, five of them. Bring them back here, and I'm not sure who's in charge of this ministry in this church right now. I'm not sure, Miss Jenny. Miss Jenny, if they give them to you, you'll be cool. Okay, you won't write me a note and say, Brother Hayes, you're driving me crazy. Okay, she won't do that. You bring them back, and this is what I need. This is what I need tonight. We're fixing to collate another 10,000 of these. It will be 89,000 that we've collated, but I don't have enough cards to collate 10,000 of them, and I need help. I've already told your pastor I need help. So I'm going to ask you tonight, if you'd come to this altar tonight, pick up a bundle of these. Sit down, read your Bible, have your devotions, read the Word of God every day. Maybe you'll get to Friday or Saturday and God will impress you with some things that you can write. I'm asking you to have them back to me. I don't know how many's down here, maybe 200, but have them back to me by Veterans Day. You get them back to Miss Jenny, she'll certainly get them mailed to me. And it can be done. I know it can be done. Brother Hayes, you have no idea how busy we are. I know you're busy. I know you pour money into me, and this is one of the things we try to get folks to do, is this right here. And we certainly appreciate the money. But you know what? This right here, is $2. And you know what? It's just $2. that could eternally change the life of a soldier. Amen. That can reach into the heart of a Navy SEAL that's a pretty tough guy. But you know what? Some of these tough guys, when you meet them on the streets and you say, "Sir, I just want you to know that Jesus Christ appreciates what you're doing for Israel and he loves you." And you share them with something that has some compassion in it, some love in it. May I say to you, compassion will make a difference. Amen. And you cannot buy compassion.
Right.
I cannot buy compassion. I can buy these cards. I buy them by the 10,000. I buy these 10,000 at a time. And I can buy them. They're 10 cents each. But I can't pay people to write compassionate notes. That's got to come from your heart. And it can't come from my heart. All I can tell you is those Navy SEALs, they weren't prepared that day. I can tell you that right now. Oh, they're prepared up here. But if they weren't prepared in their soul, they're in hell right now. And all the discipline and all the character that they might have is not going to help them in hell. Because hell is hell. And so tonight, I hope that you'd come tonight. I hope you'd grab some of these cards and help us tonight. Would you please just take some home? Have them written by November the 11th. Get them back to us. Be a blessing to a soldier. Be a blessing to these guys. Be a blessing to the Lord Jesus. Amen. Father, help us tonight. Please speak to hearts. Father, I never raised my voice tonight. I never hollered tonight. We just come here tonight to reason with the Berean Baptist Church of Adrian, Michigan. Father, just try to reason this thing out that folks are going to hell. Our soldiers are going to hell. And Father, Jesus is the only hope and Jesus is the only answer. And nobody can get saved apart from the Word of God. Nobody gets saved apart from the Bible. Nobody gets saved apart from hearing the Word of God or reading the Word of God. It doesn't happen. And so, Father, we're asking you to please help us tonight with kind, compassionate cards that can be added. Compassion can be added to the gospel. And Father, that you would move in this church tonight, there'd be many folks here tonight that would choose to help us. And your will would be done there tonight now, in Jesus' name. Why don't we all stand? Your preacher's going to give the invitation, and we'll go from there.